Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Scary Jungle Radio. LeBron passes MJ. Lakers, it's gonna play MJ. Remember when I used to get confident? Look, say hi, I'm scared. I didn't know what I'm doing. But it's correct, you won't get that man. The Steelers. Antonio Brown on Friday. The other rest have been actually going to be down here. There's so much to do. It's baseball with spring training is here. There's a look in the face. They're number one in the back of the game for that series. All this is right here on the face of the game. So we're going to hold the dog. Fire Cigar at the back, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. You can also become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor, never worry about your sticks going bad. Also serving beer and wine. So get down there, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4901 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona, on Chandler and Chandler Heights and Alma School. Like I said, getting our 11 PLR Central in the Cave Show, it will take 10% off of any cigar purchase. There are some limitations, but you have to get in there and find out what they are. We will also be watching. I'll let you know what day exactly. It's coming up quickly, but March Madness, we will be there one morning watching games from 9 a.m. until 1 o'clock. So we will be there one of those days. It'll be a Thursday, somewhere between Thursday to Sunday, but I'll let you know the day exactly. It will be a watch party. I will be in the house, be smoking cigars, and have some stuff to give away as well. That's Maduro's again, Fine Cigar and Tobacco. This is the Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. Thank you so much for joining today. You heard a wide array of topics we have going on. All calls are made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line, so if you want to chime in, you can. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. To whom am I speaking?
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, what up, buddy? How are you?
All right. 10 days and counting until, of course, the unveiling.
I know. I'm so excited. I was at not the men's side. I'll be there today. ASU is holding their press conference before they go down and play team in Tucson. But the ladies are up in Colorado, Arizona State women's Sun Devil basketball team. They're up in Colorado. They're up in Las Vegas playing Colorado now. And so we should have two teams in the Big Dance. Arizona State women's team is ranked number 20, so it'll take something drastic and major for them not to make it. But it'll be nice to have both teams in again. But I can't wait, Lou. You know what? I know you keep up with all this as well, obviously with the sports show of your own. But
yes,
I've never seen it, and I think we're starting to say this more and more every year. But I've never seen it so wide open. There can be so many teams that you could really make an argument for, that could be not only win it all, but that could possibly even be a number one seed. I mean, you have Kentucky. If LSU wins the SEC, they could be a number one seed. If North Carolina wins the ACC, they could be a number one seed. If Virginia wins the ACC, if Duke wins the ACC, then you got Gonzaga, you got Tennessee. Yeah, Michigan, Texas Tech. It's these are all teams that could be number ones. And what everyone forgets is a number two really is just as good as a number one generally, and that's where you fall into the Houstons and the Texas Techs and the Michigan State. There's so many ways this could fall, and ooh, it's just so wide open. I can't wait to watch this.
You know, every year we have, you know, there's always something that changes in the tournament, you know, especially with the upsets. A number 13 can outrank a number 4. A number 11 could be a number 6. So it's always, you know, willing to see what's going to happen in the tournament once it starts.
You know, I just glanced over at the poll, and with Gonzaga being number 1, Virginia, North Carolina, Duke are 2, 3, and 4. And then I looked a little bit deeper, and you have Tennessee, Kentucky, 5 and 6. So you have the Gonzaga, I don't want to call it an outlier. They're just in a conference where they're not going to have a challenger. But then the next 3 teams are ACC teams. The following 2 teams are SEC teams. Then you get a Big Ten, and then down 1 slot from the Big Ten, you get another Big Ten. Then you get another SEC. Then you get another Big Ten. Then you get Houston, obviously, then Florida State. Then you get another ACC. It almost makes you think that if one of these teams from the SEC or ACC or Big Ten don't win, Gonzaga seems like the only team that really could break through with that.
Yeah, I wish it would be something for the Big East, though, but that's not going to happen this year.
No, and you know what's sad, Lou, and you sure grew up watching Big Ten basketball. Big East basketball.
Big East.
Even though technically there's still a Big East title, it's just not the same anymore.
No. It isn't.
You know, gone are the days of, you know, Syracuse and St. John's and Georgetown and UConn and those teams, just Seton Hall, just battling nonstop. It seems like, you know, for lack of a better phrase, college football ruined Big East basketball.
I'm afraid so.
So, what else you got for me, my friend?
Well, just when we thought we heard it all, well, there seems to be something really weird with baseball this year. I've been hearing this on a reliable source this morning, how the Yankees said they were going to go with something that was called an opener and not a closer. This is like something new at Major League. I mean, you know, a pitcher would start with only like 1 or 2 innings and then it would go to somebody else. I'm like, using 8 pitchers in a game? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it truly is. And you know what? I had the privilege, name drop coming, of being on the interview with Joe Maddon of the Cubs, and he was talking about strategies and the game changing and pace of game and all this. And one of the things he talked about was the idea of using pitchers, you know, making pitchers face a minimum of 3 innings or 3 batters, and then, you know, and then they can sub. You can't use situation pitching anymore. So bring in a righty to get to the righty, then a lefty to get to the left. Wait till the batter gets announced, and then you pitcher. And he said, I understand that, you know, pace of game. I understand, even though I know guys don't like it, the four walk, you know, the voluntary intentional walk and all that. But he's like, if you start doing certain things, it takes away the amount of strategy that you can use. And I get that. And I don't think a pitcher should be forced to face a minimum of batters, but they've got to come up with something where everyone's not doing a Tony La Russa and making games last 1,000 innings. So there has to be a median. I don't think they know what it is yet. But there has to be something, Lou, where a guy gets announced and then – or maybe they should put a clock on how fast a guy can warm up. Or they've got to come up with something.
That might be a better idea.
You know, start with the closer, fine. But what if your pitcher – The whole key is now everything is analytics. And what they're saying is pitchers, by the time they see a batter 3 times, the 3rd time the batter has the advantage. So if you pitch your closers the first 2-3 innings, then you're basically saying, well, my starters now are going to give me longer starts, and they still will be in line for the win, and at the same time, they won't have to go through the order quite as much. So my comeback to that has always been, well, what if your starter's getting rocked? Now,
yeah,
or a game or a position where they're not necessarily getting rocked, but both teams are giving up a lot of runs. Now you chase your starter. Now you need to get a closer to close the game, but you've already used your closer at the beginning of the game. So I think there's pros and cons to both of this. Lou, it seems like, and like I said, I know we're about the same age, it seems like baseball does so much to break the traditions that shouldn't be broken. And then the flip side, they do some of the things where you go, wow, it's time to change and move on from this one. And those are the ones they don't mess with. Baseball
right.
will never be a game like basketball or football because it doesn't have a clock. So you have to do
right.
other things to make sure that the entertainment of the game is good. Pitchers, you know, lack of a better phrase, bitches about a time clock, it's kind of on them. It should be 20 seconds, and they should stop, you know, mucking around with it. And if you're going to make it 20 seconds, make it 20 seconds in a game. There's no reason for pitchers to circle the mound 80,000 times and
no.
look over the first 80,000 times. Let's go. Pitch the ball. Why can't I think of his name now? Pitch for the Cubs. Pitch for the Braves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
All of it under 2 hours. Why am I? I can see him wearing a number 31. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway, his games didn't last forever. He caught the ball. He pitched the ball. I, 20 seconds. It's that simple.
Yeah, but now you made everything so complicated, and you know you have to stop as well. You know, time gets called and whatnot, and that slows up the game. The intentional walk, there's nothing more boring than that.
No, but you know what, though, Lou? I will tell you something. I wish they would bring the intentional walk back. And I just do the four fingers and then you walk. And here's why. I know it doesn't happen a lot. But I know you've seen it, too, where you're trying to intentionally walk a guy and the ball gets away from the catcher. And the runner advances. And then maybe if that runner advances, now they call off the intentional walk, and now they want to pitch to him. We've seen that. And I think by doing that, you're taking a part of the game out that should be left in the game. But you know what baseball struggles with the most, my opinion only? It's not all the rules. And even though I just said a lot of the rule changes are dumb and the unspoken rules, they have no flair because everyone wants to keep it so suburban. So there's no flair to baseball anymore. There's no personality. Do you remember, and I don't know if you're a fan or not, it really doesn't, I mean, for us being fans of this person, doesn't matter. But do you remember when Barry Bonds used to hit home runs, he used to do that dumb spin out of the batter's box? Like, he hit home run once he knew it was going to do a little spin. Or certain guys, you know, even though, you know, no one's a fan now that they want to admit of McGuire or Canseco, but they do the Bash Brother arms when one of them would hit a home run, they come around and play. There's no personality in baseball anymore. It's so sterile. And baseball, you know, you got these guys like the pitcher from San Francisco, Bumgarner, where if you once the ball touches the bat, if you look up at him a second, he's cursing you out because yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
There's no personality in baseball. And that's what people like in sports.
Do you mean by
like,
the players
like,
or the announcers? Oh.
Both.
Exactly.
I just heard, and you're a hockey guy, and maybe you know what team this guy is the announcer for, but I saw on TV probably about 3 weeks ago a team kidding around on the ice. They were like doing like a bowling pin or whatever. They were kidding around after a game, and he lost his mind. And he's like, that's crap. That's not how you play hockey, and that's not fun, and nobody likes this. Well, it seemed like they were entertained, and it seemed like the fans were entertained. And there comes a point where, you know, when you score a touchdown, give the ball to the ref, like, and act like you've been there. And what happens is that conservative thinking is great when you're 50 and 60 and 70. But you're going to die off, and your fans are still going to want to see something a little bit more. And I think you have to market to the age that you're trying to get. Why do you think UFC is popular? Why do you think X Games are popular? Because they have flair and they have charisma. It's not because anybody likes anything else. It's flair and charisma.
It appeals to the young.
And you have to, because they're the ones that are going to be buying. I would rather market to someone that's 20 and hope I can continue marketing to them for 50 years, and someone that's 50 and hope to continue marketing them for 20.
Really, when I was young, about 14, 15, inline skating was coming in.
Yeah. Yep.
That was the beginning of the extreme sports.
And I want you to stop and think about it. When we were kids, and I'm not going to say what decade, but roller skating rinks were ridiculously popular.
Yes, they were.
You would see kids on the street. And I don't know if you remember these, Lou, but they weren't roller skates that you bought and tied up, but they clip on to the bottom of your gym shoes. And you would skate with those. And people
My
would
sister
do
was
on
into it.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. You don't see anybody roller skating down the street anymore.
No.
And if you do see someone, like you said, they're inline skates. But you don't see four wheels on people's feet anymore. Not going down the street. What do you see? You see hoverboards. You see the motorized scooters. You see motorized.
No, nothing wrong with that, though.
No, there isn't. But the point is the marketing change. So if you're in street roller skating sales, you're out of business. And if baseball doesn't realize that they need to market better and market to the youth better, nothing is more of an example than you waited until spring training for Manny Machado and for Bryce Harper to sign. And the Phillies sold, 100,000 tickets 2 hours after he signed? Do you imagine the marketing that could have been done if he had signed quickly with that team? Or Machado,
I can imagine.
If he could have signed. So if they could sell 100,000 tickets.
$3 million in advanced ticket sales since Machado signed.
You got to market people. Why do you think the NBA has free agent signings on the 1st of July when they're 2 months away, two and a half months away from training camp starting? They do that because, you know what? As soon as LeBron signed with the Lakers, 2 days later, LeBron jerseys are selling.
Right.
When Paul George got traded and he re-signed with the Thunder, we can now sell all these Paul George jerseys. You have to be able to get ahead of it and market it. And for whatever reason, baseball is either too smart to do it, which means sometimes the smartest people are the dumbest people, or they're too dumb currently to do it. I don't know which one it is.
Too dumb.
But
too dumb.
You guys have one of the brightest young guys playing with the Yankees. Bright future. Good looking, 6'8", hits homers out of the park left and right. I live out here in Arizona. Do you know how many of his commercials I've seen since baseball's ended? Guess.
Wait, which one are we talking about?
Aaron Judge.
Oh, 20?
None. Zero. You know how many Mets commercials I've seen? None. You know how many? You know how many Machado commercials I've seen? None. Trout? None. Nothing. The only way you get anything baseball-wise is if you turn on the MLB Network. You know how many households do not have the MLB Network? A whole bunch of them. But I can turn on any channel. I can see a retired player in Charles Barkley. I can see LeBron commercials. I see Westbrook commercials. I see all these commercials for all these players and all these other sports. But I see nothing else.
Yeah. Baseball's not what it used to be.
No. So, but they have themselves to blame.
I mean, back in the 70s, you know, there was a lot of commercials featuring Yankee players, of course, since they were the, you know, Korean, and they had the sponsor, I think it was, well, for a camera company, and had the Yankee players, you know, in it.
Yes! Look, when I was a kid, I saw Reggie Jackson commercials all the time. All the time.
And there, yeah. Of course, there was one with... Well, there was one with Derek Jeter that was kind of, I think, meant to be comical. He had Steinbrenner with it and he said, "Hey, look, is it true you're going every night? How can you afford two nights eating out, dancing, and cars with your friends?" So he shows him his MasterCard. Oh.
Yes. We see those with the NFL. We see that with NFL, the Saquon Barkley and Eli Manning commercial. Hey, look, show me how quick you can use your Visa. We see the State Farm commercials with Aaron Rodgers. I can pick every sport almost and tell you where I see players, high known players, face of the league players. But I can't with baseball.
Yeah.
And I understand when they say stuff like, well, Mike Trout has to help market Mike Trout, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a commissioner ever say. And I understand players have to be, you know, receptive, and maybe they're not receptive, but you can still market the game by using these players. And I don't understand why baseball just won't do that. Maybe it doesn't understand it's on life support. Listen, in another 30 years, baseball will not be as popular as soccer if they're not careful.
Baseball isn't popular now much.
No, but I still give them. They still get their ratings. You know, there's still the thing is, Lou, there's enough over 50 guys still alive to keep baseball going. And I'll tell you one thing I've noticed. From working Diamondback games, spring training games, all you have to do is look in the press area. And here's the difference. I go and I do Suns games, and the press area split. Guys about 25 up to guys that are about 60. Football, guys about 25 up to guys about 60. But when you go to baseball, most of the baseball writers, over 40. That has to tell someone something. Because if your writers and the people that are covering the sport aren't connecting to the young guys, there's an issue. See, in basketball, it's funny because you got the young guys who are all in the analytics. Well, you know, LeBron is better than Jordan because analytically he's able to – and then you got older guys saying, "Shut the hell up, young dude. I watched the whole play. There's no reason." So you get a mixed audience and you get mixed crowds and you keep conversations going and whatever. But in baseball, you don't get that because guys arguing with who's better than who. When was the last time you heard anyone argue that Ricky Henderson wasn't the best leadoff guy? Well, you don't. You know why? Because they don't steal bases. You know, because analytically, it's better to wait for a launch point and hit a two-run homer than manufacture a run. I don't get it. I don't get why you are grenading your own sport. But anyway, I've been on this soapbox long enough, and you only asked me one simple question, so I apologize.
It's okay. You know, funny you should – but getting back to the Roars game for a bit, because when today was about to go for the Summer Olympics in 2016 in Brazil. They were on location in Brazil, and they had Nami Morales there, and she was actually roller skating in the park area, and she was the only one. She was the only one on there. Like, no one's roller skating anymore. Well, when was the last time you saw a 43-year-old woman roller skating in a park?
Listening to disco was short time, right?
Yes. And, but of course, it was also played one of the most terrible tunes of all time.
Different times, my friend.
Yeah, okay, name the tune.
I couldn't. I'll let you. I can't think of it right now.
I'm going to hate myself for this, and my sister's going to kill me. Thank God you're listening. The theme to one of the worst movies of all time, Xanadu.
Oh, my goodness, Olivia Newton-John.
Yes, Xanadu. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Eek. That note, I think I'll call it a day. I think I made an idiot of myself enough today.
All right, my friend.
You hear your first, folks.
I'll let you go watch Xanadu on Netflix.
Well, I think I lost my appetite tonight. Eesh.
All right, buddy.
Oh. Let's see if you want to
catch
on my show Saturday. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All
well,
right, Lee, thank
you, folks.
Sir.
Good night.
Good night. Always good to catch up with Lou. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Remember, all calls made via the Kerry Lackey long line. Charlie Casserly. I haven't weighed in on him, and I'm going to now. I think he's a walking idiot. I really do. Charlie Casserly probably knows more football than I do. Charlie Casserly probably knows recruiting more than I do. Charlie Casserly probably knows, not recruiting, but evaluating talent more than I do. He's around football more than I am. But when you listen to what he said about Kyler Murray, he's the worst on the board ever. He's the worst at this. He has no leadership. He has no this. He has no that. But you talk to people and they say he has leadership. You talk to his coach and he says that Charlie Casserly never even met, with his position coaches. Where's Charlie Casserly getting this from? And I challenge him to let us know. Who's telling him this? Because what it sounds like is a guy with a vendetta. And we know the one thing about the NFL right now, everyone lies. Everybody's lying their ass off. One lie after the next. Everybody's lying. But when you start talking about someone and you start talking about their character, I need more proof. You can't be vetted by the MLB and vetted by the NFL, and no one sees these character flaws except a couple guys that have talked to Charlie Casserly. That doesn't sound odd to anyone else, because it sure does seem odd to me. No one else sees anything that Charlie Casserly is saying and all this time, and now it's just getting reported. That just doesn't seem right. Something isn't connecting with something. You have the Cards looking to possibly take Murray with the number one pick in the draft, but Charlie Casserly says he's not a leader. And he's being told over and over in 20 minutes, he's not a leader. I don't know, y'all. What do I know? The eye test tells me this kid can play. The eye test tells me that he's going to be good. And I love guys out there. But there's no way he's going to be as good as Russell Wilson. Remember, the same idiots that are saying he's not going to be good are the same idiots that said Baker Mayfield can't play. They're also the same idiots that say Russell Westbrook is a bad team player. These are those same idiots. These are the same idiots that will tell you, well, none of what happened in L.A. was LeBron's fault. Same idiots. Listen, you are not the quarterback of OU. You are not a guy that was drafted by the Oakland A's. You're not that guy if you have no leadership skills. I don't know. We'll see. We'll let it shake down. I think Casserly looks like an idiot in this. As Bill Belichick said before, what does he know? And honestly, I'm going to go with Bill Belichick. Yahoo's dropping some major bombs right now. FBI wiretap between LSU coach Will Wade and one of the business managers, Christian Dawkins, I guess Wayne made some type of comment like there was a strong-ass offer. Will Wade might be in trouble because we know, and that's basketball. We know these kids don't get paid, wink, wink, and we know that they shouldn't get paid for doing the work. But Paul, PLR, come on, dude. They get a free education. Okay. That can be yanked from them at any time. I tell you what, why don't we do this? I just thought of this right now. Why don't we do this? So a kid comes into a program, right? And let's do it like this. Let's do this. And this way we can basically see what kids make. So we'll say, okay, you know what? An education is worth $15,000 a semester, right? So then what we do is for each one of those sports, we add up what the TV revenue is for that sport, what the advertising dollars is for that sport, and all that stuff. And if it's not over $15,000, kid gets nothing. Right? Kid gets nothing. Not a dime. Their education is their scholarship, and no one can say anything. But why don't we do this then? So for college football, basketball, baseball, soccer, I don't care, you pick the sport. We take that sport, and we say the education is $15,000. And then we add up all the TV revenue, shoe contracts, all the deals, all everything that makes money. And if it goes over $15,000, then that amount is split up amongst the players on that team. And you know the NCAA never go for that, right? Because then you can see what the true value is. Because then the NCAA has to come off of some of the billions that they get for Final Four. See, what people want to tell you is everyone loves an upset until you get to the big round, and then you want to watch Duke, you want to watch North Carolina, you want to watch Kansas, and you want to watch this team. You don't want to see Murray State in the Final Four. You want to see them up until that second Sunday. No. Sponsors want to see them only up to that second Sunday. Now, casual fans could care less about watching Murray State. Casual fans want to see the big names. But don't fool yourself. The NCAA and the advertisers don't want to see Murray State. And what's so funny is it really doesn't matter at that point because all the ad money is already collected. Loyola, oh, what a great story. But ooh, be careful if they go too far if they end up in that national title game. Because then we won't get viewers. Yeah, but you know what? You've already paid for the sponsorship. You can't buy a pizza, eat it, and then call the restaurant and say you didn't like it. The restaurant don't give a crap. You know what? You ate it? No, well, I guess may not order it next time, but you ate it. Nothing I can do for you. It's not like you can return it. If Loyola's playing Murray State, you can't say, ah, well, the main goal, but we thought, can we return it? No. Don't let these yahoos fool you.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
Suns have won 3 games in a row. The Phoenix Suns are on a winning streak. Now, the other day, I got an opportunity to talk to Coach Igor Kokoskov, being on some interviews with some of the players, and interview Jamal Crawford. And he said the difference is guys are trusting each other more. They know each other more. And I know there are fans that are saying, don't win now. Well, you know, don't worry about it. Knicks still stink, the Bulls still stink, and the Bulls are winning now. But you've stunk long enough, you're still going to get a top pick. But I don't think you want to end your season playing terribly. You know, I heard Zach LaVine say just last night, you know, we have, his exact words were, we have horses here. And so we want to show that. Yeah, we're out of it now, but we want to build something at the end of the season that carries on into next year. Same with the Suns. They don't want to go out as a laughing stock because there is some talent on this team. And that talent will really be shown if they get a point guard. Now, I'm going to get Kyle Fleeger from Suns Debate on soon, and same with Dave King and Gerald Bourguet and all the guys that know the Suns very well as well. But I've got some ideas, and I threw this one out the other night. I'm trying to remember when I was working the Suns game. I'm trying to remember who said they thought that was a good idea. But here's what I'm thinking. If the Suns end up with the number two pick, I say they get Ja Morant from Murray State. And they offer their first round pick the following year and a little bit of cap relief to Memphis and get Michael Conley Jr. That way you have your point guard now to guide the team, and you have your point guard of the future to learn under Conley for a year or two. I think that's the direction you go. The other direction I thought about, a guy that I think may fit here with the Suns, depending on if it's someone they want to go get, someone with a strong personality, defensive-minded, but can play the point. Maybe look at Chicago and see if Chris Dunn is someone you can get out of there if you just want to stay young. And maybe you end up with the number one pick and you get someone, you know, like a Zion, which, you know, I think anyone who gets the number one pick is going to draft Zion. So I say maybe you go after a Chris Dunn. I don't know. We'll see, but nonetheless, they're on a three-game winning streak. Other tidbits with NBA, Rajon Rondo catching lots of heat for sitting with the fans last night. His comeback was, I've done it a hundred times this year, was a big deal. The big deal is your team is tail-spinning. Optics mean a lot, and that's a bad optic to have. Just that simple. LeBron James surpassed the GOAT in scoring, surpassed Michael Jordan last night, moved him up to fourth in all-time scoring in NBA, so big-time congratulations. As he said, never in a trillion years would he have thought a kid coming from his situation, Akron, would ever, could ever have accomplished what he's accomplished. And, you know, he's 100% right. Congratulations to him. I do not want to get into the who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. I have this discussion all the time, have this argument all the time, know how I feel. I could care less about analytical numbers. But with that being said, please don't lessen what he's accomplished in his career based on how the Lakers have played this year. LeBron James is a true stud. He is a true top five player that has ever played the game of basketball. His basketball IQ is incredible. Incredible. He's accomplished more than so many people in the NBA. And he's added yet another thing to it. And I'm not going to get into the Lakers and their season today. Probably talk about that either tomorrow or Monday. But I'm not getting into that today because today I think should be all about LeBron, what he's accomplished, and look, people, I heard someone say, well, when you pass one in points, it also has to do with longevity. And they pointed out that he's played over 100 games more than Mike. Well, in 100 games, he still would have passed him anyway. And longevity means something. I understand that they're like, you know, we hear that a lot with Vinny Testaverde. Well, he passed so many yards because he was in the league for so long. But at never any one time was Vinny the best quarterback in the league. LeBron has been the best player in the league for a stretch. A good long stretch. That's the difference. And that's why he's so great. So congratulations to LeBron James in becoming and passing the GOAT and the amount of points scored in your NBA career. This was fun. I love doing this show. At the beginning, I touched on Jim Boeheim. He's been cleared of any wrongdoings in his accident that unfortunately took another person's life. That's going to be a tough thing to live with the rest of your life. Really will. ASU women's team up 29-16 on Colorado. And we asked, you know, the other day before they left, we asked about Colorado and, you know, how dangerous are they? And as Coach Charlie said, everyone's dangerous. They're full strength now. Everyone's dangerous. All calls may be in the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Thank you for the calls calling in. At the Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, fan page, Cave Warrior Cave. Go to sportscave.com. Always going to be an article up there somewhere. And you can get me directly on Twitter. That's Twitter, BLR on Twitter. And by the way, the sportscave.com. Cave Warrior Cave. This is Friday's Eve, which means tomorrow is Friday. So until then, I hope everyone enjoys the rest of the Friday Eve. You gotta be covered in the things that took a long time. That person, that thing, the last word, and we have such a good time, you're almost there. They have to make the drink. You gotta be covered in the time like that, though. Until tomorrow, this is the day for the PLR. This is the PLR. Everyone have a great day. See you tomorrow.